Hi friends, Mario Cavallo here. Welcome to this special episode of Counterpoint China. In fact, it's a pretty rare one. I don't do live interviews very often, and I am welcoming my good friend from afar, Mr. Jeff Brown. Jeff is in fact with his wife in Normandy and on their way to moving to my neck of the woods on the other half of the world. And you're heading to Taiwan. Is that what you told me earlier?
Taiwan province.
Unbelievable. Jeff, how are you
Not,
doing
let's
these
not
days? Oh,
forget
yeah.
Taiwan province.
Yes, no kidding. No
It's
kidding. A
China.
territory. Yeah, unbelievable. Unbelievable. We are here to talk today. You know what? It's not going to be fun and games, nor is it going to be really that political. It's a very specific thing in an area of expertise that Jeff has to offer, and that is. You're going to be surprised by this. Bioweapons, the world of bioweapons. Let me introduce some interesting points regarding Jeff's research in this regard. He is the co-founder, I'm going to read this. He's the co-founder of the Bioweapons Truth Commission and its curator. You can find out more at bioweapontruth.com, which includes a complete media library on Jeff's website at China Rising Radio. Sinoland COVID-19 Chemical and Bioweapons File, Film, and Tape Library. I've researched this topic myself, Jeff, but not that far that I have a file, film, and tape library. So I'm looking forward to your obvious ability to provide some details to myself and our listeners. It includes a 40-page analytical review of Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s book. He's been quite the controversial figure these days. Wuhan Cover-Up and the Terrifying Bioweapons Arms Race. Wow. You did all that?
Yes, sir.
You
And
know,
I'm prepared to share it.
Sure, you know, you're prepared to share it, and I want to let you know how genuinely prepared and interested I am to listen and hear about this on behalf of everyone that's going to be watching this. I'm certainly no stranger to the subject, but I haven't delved into it as deeply as you have. I want to give you the floor when I feel it's appropriate. I'm going to jump in with some specific questions that hit my mind, but you're the man
Absolutely.
right now. I'm
All
very
right.
happy you're on with me. Thank you. Tell us more. Tell us what we need to know.
Thank you, Mario, for having me on your show today. Yeah, this is a big subject and it goes way back in history. I'm just going to do a quick review of the just people don't realize how far back bioweapons and chemical weapons have gone and how much of an impact they've had on human history. And I'm going to bring it right up to today. I don't want this to be a long, hours and hours. Hundreds of books have been written about this. Thousands of hours of film have been produced about this. I would just want to give the fans out there a broad overview because, and what got me to doing this was because RFK, jumped on board with Donald Trump. And they're going to say he's going to be the health czar, and he's going to go after, Anthony Fauci and the medical industrial complex. I don't know how true that's ever going to happen.
Who
And
knows?
then
Yeah, who knows?
great psychological deflection. The Western big lie propaganda machine points towards China and starts, again, attacking China, that China's started the COVID-19 epidemic, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so I just want to give a quick overview to put all of this into perspective. And it's something that I have done a lot of work on. A lot of people, a lot, this is just kind of the fun part. People don't realize, but China was the first country that started using bioweapon and chemical weapons in 400 BC during the Warring States period. And this is when various Chinese groups were vying to consolidate what would later become the Qing Dynasty, the first unified China in 200 BC. And get a load of this, they used toxic tipped arrows and spears China, of course, developed the first catapults around the same time, quickly followed by the Greeks. And then China had the genius to create hollow clay balls full of toxins, feces, infected, cadaver parts, cadavers that were infected with smallpox and plague. And at the same time, the Greeks weren't nearly as technical. They just heaved catapults. They just heaved infected bodies over city walls, with catapults.
Why make it complicated? Yeah.
I want you all to notice, though, because then people immediately jump onto this and go, oh, the Chinese. Notice the Chinese have always used their advanced weapons, and they've always been about no less than 100 and up to 1,000 years ahead of the West in military technology to fight amongst themselves and to defend against invading Asian steppe tribes. So they did not go take all of this and go out, into all across
Yeah.
Asia and Southeast Asia and Japan, et cetera. They were
Thank you. Thank
fighting
you.
among themselves and defending against hordes of Asian steppe tribes. It was
Thank
the
you. Jeff, I'm gonna no, Jeff, I want to hit you on this point here. Thank you for pointing out something very important, which is that China didn't go out like the European countries did and like the United States has done and go out and try to colonize the world by attacking and killing endless innocent civilians of other nations all over the world. Yes, they've had plenty of their own fighting within their own region, but they never went out and tried to take over Europe. I mean, it's a very, very important point. And here they are now, also 40 years plus ever since the Sino-Vietnam War, assiduously avoiding war at all costs, rising in peace. But of course, the West will have no mercy. They'll continue lying about this. They won't allow the world to understand that China is now the new global superpower and the first global superpower in history, fully capable of creating war and going out there and can use war as a strategy to expand and is not doing that, is the first global superpower in history, in centuries, to become a global superpower without war, without attacking any other nation. Please continue. I had to say that.
And that's what I wanted to just say. It was like, sort of like what happens in Las Vegas stays in Las Vegas. The Chinese kept, kept it local, whereas it was the Greeks and the Romans and the Europeans who have used all of this Chinese military technology for expansionism, extermination, extraction, and enslavement of peoples way beyond their national boundaries. So I all and I'm glad to, thank you for reinforcing it because people tend to we tend to psychologically reflect our civilization's behavior onto the Chinese, but that is not the same thing.
No.
From 400 BC, let's jump to the 1200s. The Chinese developed gunpowder actually for fireworks. I think this is very telling. They didn't develop gunpowder to create armaments. They created gunpowder to make fireworks, but
For
they
family fun.
family fun. But they quickly
Yeah.
saw its value for weaponry, and could make them exp and then they were able to make chemical weapon cannonballs, rocket propelled grenades and semi. Again, these were hundreds of years ahead of the West, and again, as Mario just pointed out, with their advanced technology being hundreds of years ahead of the Europeans in military technology, they could have easily taken over the entire world, but they didn't do it. So I think that's an important
Yes.
point to make.
You
Again,
bet it is. You bet it is.
they used this gunpowder to fight amongst themselves. There were some wars going on there, but especially against the Asian steppe tribes because they were really, really a nuisance for the Chinese. They were constantly invading to get all of that incredible wealth that the Chinese had, a Japanese pirates, et cetera. So again, the Chinese are blocking invaders And then the West used the same technology to basically control the world.
You bet. And
And
I want to jump in right here because
sure.
what you just shared with us, I mean, why not? Let me do so. I immediately
Please.
thought, I'm jumping on my pad here to do some fast research. You immediately reminded me of a seminal book. You might know it by Jared Diamond, Guns, Germs, and
Steal,
Steel.
yeah.
And sure, this is it. This is what changed the world. It's not that the invaders showed up in foreign native lands. It's not just that they showed up in foreign native lands. It's they showed up in foreign native lands with steel, with guns, and said to the local natives, do what we want, or we're going to shoot and kill you. And all the natives had were spears and knives. They were helpless. So, his book, The Fates of Human Societies, Guns, Germs, and Steel. Boy, I really find that appropriate to what you're telling us here. I really do.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great book. I really enjoyed reading it. Then we can jump from the 1200s to the 1500s to the 1800s. And the European invaders in the Americas, in the Americas, North America, Central America, South America, the Caribbean, intentionally genocided tens of millions of Native Americans using
No.
smallpox infected blankets as gifts. So they would meet a tribe knowing that they figured out pretty quickly that the Native Americans did not have a natural resistance to smallpox. They would give the natives gifts or just drop off, fly by and throw blankets into their communities that were full of smallpox scabs. And that would kill 80 to 90% of the tribe. Then they would just go back 2 weeks later, and they would just garrote the survivors, and that's why so many American Indian tribes have been reduced to extinction or extremely small numbers. So that was actually a bioweapon strategy that Western, later American Canadian colonialist used to wipe out the Native American population.
I've been upset enough these days. Thank you for putting the icing on the cake of my misery and trauma. I mean, what you just told me is just heinous. Would be the word that pop, it's just heinous. And it continues to this day. I'm so, and not just myself, so many others all across the world, we're also sickened by it. They're literally traumatizing, they're literally cutting a wound in the soul of the earth. That's what they're doing with the killing that they're doing. It's absolutely incredible. Continue, go, tell us more.
We can jump then to the Europeans finally figured out, oh, the Chinese had them since 400 BC, but the West finally got around to using chemical weapons in World War I. The French started it, and then the British and Americans extensively used chemical weapons on Germany, then even more so on the Soviets to try to crush the Russians' communist October Revolution, which we all know failed. The Allied powers in Germany maimed and slaughtered millions of each other and then the Russians. And of course, at that point in 1925, to protect each other and to protect, I think they realized they were somewhat on the brink. The Geneva Convention Protocol came out, and about how to take care of prisoners of war, and how to and to not use chemical weapons, which worked for a while. We can then move from Europe to Asia and China, specifically 1935 to 1945. Dr. Shiro Ishii, a Japanese mad genius at Japan's Unit 731 in Harbin, China, not far from where you live, Mario.
Nope. I'm here. I'm in Shenyang, Jeff. The Mutsu incident, Japan. You can say clearly. Zhou Yaoba, September 18th, 1931, right here in Shenyang, where I'm sitting right now. Japan started it all, and then eventually we know what they did in Nanjing. Go ahead. Unbelievable.
Well, I'm sure they used bioweapons on Shenyang since it was so close. But that Japanese center for 10 years became the world's biggest and deadliest bioweapon manufacturer. It was huge. It was several
It was
hectares.
here in China.
In Harbin.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, 2 hour train ride north of where we are right now. That I didn't know.
When we get to China, I definitely want to go see the museum in Harbin because it's supposed to be
We'll
really
get up
good.
there.
Anyway, they bred insects to infect the insects with bacteria, and they cultivated huge vats of anthrax and plague, tularemia, and other lethal microbes. And similar to probably they may have been inspired by the Chinese with their clay cannonballs on the catapults, heaving chemical weapons over city walls in China. They created ceramic bombs that they dropped from the Japanese Imperial Air Force, and they were full of insects, feathers, animal hair that were heavily infested with, again, anthrax, plague, tularemia, brucellosis, and a number of other microbes. And it is estimated no fewer
Incredible.
than 500,000 and up to 800,000 Chinese were genocided by bioweapons during that 10-year period. And they went as far south as Ningbo, which is just north of Shanghai. So they went all the way down almost to the Yangtze River. And of course, this is why the Chinese became so good at reacting to bioweapon attacks. I mean, China is the most bioweapon attacked country in modern history, and it started in 1935 with the Japanese. And I want to point out something, Mara. This is important. Again, this is psychological deflection. As soon as the U.S. is brought up and NATO is brought up, oh what about the Japanese? So they want you to. The West big lie propaganda machine wants you to focus on these Japanese war crimes. And they were war crimes, to take your eyes off of what has happened since, because what's happened since is all the West all the time. And that brings us up, of course, when Japan surrendered in China on September 3rd. Oh, yeah, it was yesterday. Today. Yeah, today it's the anniversary of the
I
armistice.
forgot. Yes, I
Yeah,
forgot.
the armistice when the Japanese surrendered to the Chinese. From 1945 until today, this is a shocking but all too common story. The U.S. actually hid Shiro Ishii and his main scientists, about 10 or 15 of them, from the war crime tribunals from World War II.
It's been
They
in my head. I've been waiting for you to get to this point. Go
Yeah,
ahead.
yeah, exactly. And so they hid them and kept saying, "Oh, we're going to send them. We're going to send them. We're going to send them." And of course, they never. Actually, the war for bioweapons, it was Khabarovsk, I think it is, in Russia. They got some low hanging fruit. They got some of the lower level guys from Harbin, from Unit 731. But the cream of the crop, the geniuses behind it, were secreted. All brought to the United States with all of their equipment, all of their research,
Protected.
8,000 microscope slides, and they were sent to Fort Detrick in Maryland in the United States, which up until that time was just kind of a sleepy army base, immediately creating, and still to this day, and this is what I want people to understand, this has not ended, it's still going on. The largest bioweapon development and production center in the world, right outside of Washington, D.C. What a lot of people don't know, and I would like to thank Robert F. Kennedy Jr. for his book, although it's a total CIA hangout. What's it called? Limited hangout. I mean, it's definitely to point again to move people away from what happened in the United States and point it directly to Wuhan. But he pointed out, and he showed that actually the CIA has been heavily involved in Fort Detrick. In fact, the CIA oversees, along with the Joint Chiefs of Staff, they oversee the bioweapon development and chemical weapon development programs. So, and then European Nazis, of course, with Operation Paperclip, the West brought in thousands of European Nazis from World War II, scientists, engineers, etc. And they set up DARPA, the Defense Advanced Research Project Agency, which works side by side with Fort Detrick. So DARPA is not is Nazi. DARPA has fascist roots. And so they were developing that they had Shiro Ishii on board. The United States triggers the Korean War because they knew that if they let the elections happen that Kim Il-sung would win, and just like Ho Chi Minh in Vietnam. And so they triggered the Korean War again. Mario and I know it was not the North Koreans that started it. It was the South Koreans that started it. And
With the blessings of the United States.
absolutely to counteract China. And it worked. Mao had to stop the invasion of Taiwan, and had to stop the simplified character program, to simplify Chinese characters, because the country had to focus on defeating the United States. And so in 1950 to 1953, during the Korean War, the U.S. blatantly used bioweapons on Chinese and North Koreans. And I don't have time to go into it. It's all on the Bioweapon Truth Commission website. But Dr. Joseph Needham's International Scientific Commission put out a 560-page report that conclusively proved that the United States used bioweapons during the Korean War. They did not work
Well,
very well because it was in the
yeah.
middle of winter, so they didn't work very well. But they were so desperate because the Chinese and the Koreans were just killing the Allies, and so they were trying to
Well,
kill. Go ahead.
whatever they did, to whatever degree those bioweapons were successful or not, and the point is, for North Korea, the when I go to Dandong, which is right on the border here from it's a 3-hour drive, hour and a half train ride to Dandong from Shenyang, right on the North Korean border. We go there, and there's the broken Yalu River, the blown up Yalu River Bridge, right on the Yalu River, and right across, not even 100 meters, there's North Korea. And I, as an American, can't go into many of the local North Korean restaurants that are on the Dandong side, because the North Korean waitress ladies who come across the border and live and work in Dandong at the restaurants refuse to serve Americans because, well, gee, you guys decimated our peninsula. You slaughtered 2 million innocent civilians on the Korean Peninsula, mostly in the north. Why do you do these things? And they won't be forgiven. We won't ever be forgiven for that by these North Korean ladies in Dandong. I can tell you that right
Wow,
now.
that's really an interesting story, Mara. I didn't know that.
Yep. I won one time. I went with my good friend Wang Qing, our dear friend up here. We were in Dandong together. I shot my documentary, by the way. I'm working on it with Fernando. We shot the North Korea the war documentary. I stood right in front of the Yalu River Bridge right behind me. We shot the whole 1-hour documentary. It's done. It's in
Oh,
the
cool. I
can.
can't wait to see it.
We've got to get to editing and production and investment and all that. But my friend Wang Qing and I, one time we were there. Oh yeah, the Guangzhou paper flew up to take me to Yalu to take me to Dandong to go along the river where the bridge is to do a little documentary because I had played MacArthur in
Yeah, of course,
across
yeah,
the
and
Yalu
great.
River, right? So there I was. So they wanted to do a story. They flew up from Guangzhou. We went to Dandong. We're there. One of my close Chinese friends, Mr. Wang, and he's on the phone and he says, "Oh, we're going to go eat." He says, "Okay, I'll arrange a restaurant." And then later on, he had that look in his eye. I'm like, "Wow, I'm hungry. We're done shooting. Let's go eat." And he was like, "And Bushin, Chinese, Bushin, Bushin, Bushin." Mebafa, huh? What? My friend who owns a restaurant, his waitresses won't let us come because you're American. They won't serve you.
Well, at least they stand for principles.
Well, they should,
Yeah.
they certainly should. Jeff, please continue. Unbelievable.
That's a great story, Mario. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
Well, after the Korean War, they continued to Fort Detrick was doing everything they could to weaponize microbes. Now, I want everybody to listen to this very, very carefully. In the 1960s, 60 years ago, the United States began to weaponize coronaviruses
Oh.
in the 1960s using ultraviolet light, chemicals, and radiation. Therefore, the American development of COVID-19 started 60 years ago. So don't tell me that the Chinese created COVID-19. Coronaviruses are excellent vectors as bioweapons to kill people for a lot of reasons, and we don't have time to go into it. So they really, I mean, they had anthrax and tularemia and brucellosis and bubonic plague and others. But their favorite play toy is coronaviruses because of the unique properties of those spikes on the coronaviruses. So this has been going on for 60 years, and I can show you, and they are on the Bioweapon Truth Commission website before 2019 when it was released by the United States, and we'll get into that later. There were already 75 or 80 US and European patents on COVID-19. So this has been going on for a long, long time.
And
I think
then
it's, go
correct
ahead.
me if I'm wrong, about 2 years ago, it was really Dr. David Martin's testimony at the European Commission who opened it up, opened this whole can of worms up. And of course, it's been buried ever since. So he nailed it, didn't he?
In fact, he's the one that tracked all the patents. He is a bio or life sciences patent expert. And actually, yeah, he actually gave another speech, but it wasn't with the European Commission, but actually goes back. The European Commission, I think, was just last year, but he gave another really incredible speech, which I thought was so important that I actually had transcripts. I had it transcribed and edited and to have the text on the Bioweapon Truth Commission in the library. So they and then I don't, I want people to know, I think this is extremely important for people to know that anybody who is an enemy of NATO, the Western Empire, whatever you want to call it, the global banksters, Wall Street, the City of London, whatever name, the deep state, whatever you want to use, you have a target on your back. And starting in the 1970s, the United States began attacking Cuba with wave after wave of bioweapons. After China, Cuba is the most bioweapon attack country in the world. And to destroy their sugar and tobacco crops, which they did using Asian viruses and bacteria that the crops in Cuba had no natural immunity or bred immunity against. Later, they infected the human population with dung fever. Then they wiped out the swine herd with swine fever. The the poultry flock, the national poultry flock with avian flu, cat cloven hoofed animals like goats and sheep and cows with foot and mouth disease. All of this was easy to spread with low flying aircraft. So like a little Cessna 150 could fly over at night and no one would see them. Although there's actually film footage of a Cuban pilot catching an American Cessna spraying bioweapons in broad daylight. This has, of course, cost Cuba tens and tens of billions of dollars over the years. And they're still doing it. They're still doing it. It has not stopped. I would also like to point out that a lot of people think,
You're
oh,
killing me
this,
here. You're just, you're
the,
just, you're just, you're wiping me out emotionally. You really
yeah, it's
are. I was just.
terrible. Everybody think, oh, the Center for Disease Control, oh, the National Institutes of, quote, Health, NIH, they were founded by the U.S. Army. And they are still controlled by the U.S. Army. They were officially given civilian status in the 1970s, but they are still both the CDC, Fort Detrick, and NIH are all within a 15 or 20-minute drive of each other in Maryland, which is more than a coincidence. And
Yeah,
of
yeah.
course, they are still controlled by the U.S. military, and they are still controlled by the CIA. So they are not civilian at all. They are part and parcel of the United States's bioweapon program. Then things got really serious when Anthony Fauci in the 1980s took over the National Institutes of Health. And I know this upsets a lot of people, but it's been proven he created the HIV hoax, completely fabricated it, and which pumped, and he did it because it pumped $1.5 US trillion dollars into the medical industrial complex. So he just retired and bought a $15 million home. But he, since the 1980s, has done more to kill millions and millions and millions of people around the world. And we'll get into more of it. He finances it. He's the financier. And so he is an evil, evil man. He makes Joseph Mengele, the Nazi health minister. He makes Joseph Mengele look like a Girl Scout.
I
And
forget,
go
Jeff,
ahead.
I forget which pharmaceutical company. I'm sorry, I'm interrupting you.
That's all right.
Which pharmaceutical, was it Pfizer or one other pharmaceutical company? I was watching a show a couple months back, and they were going over in crystal clear detail. It was not rhetoric. It was, this is the program. We are testing these vaccines on local people in Africa, and like 20% of them were getting severely ill and dying. And yes, we were injecting the locals without asking them. Just yes, we're the Red Cross, or we're the humanitarian aid, we're the American company. Hey, come. Everyone come, we're going to test these vaccines on you and give each house $10 per person. And to like 20% of them were dropping dead or getting disabled from these
Absolutely.
vaccine tests and
Absolutely.
research. This is incredible to me.
And
Incredible.
this
Go.
is not China doing this. This is
No.
Pfizer, Moderna, Johnson and
Right.
Johnson,
E
Eli
yeah.
Lilly,
Yeah.
Merck. They're all Western, what I call farmament, as in armament, farmament industries, farmament companies. That's on my list how Fort Detrick also expanded across the world. So you're
Keep
absolutely
going.
right.
Keep
You're
taking us.
absolutely
Take
right.
keep taking us through your keep taking us through your timeline here.
That's all right. And so anyway, during in the 1980s, of course, the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, was created, I think, in 1924 or something. That was back when Upton Sinclair, wrote the famous book about they were putting, dead animals and sausages and rats, dead rats and mattresses and all that back during the roaring 1920s, unfettered neoliberalism. And then, of course, in 1929, we had the Great Depression. But the FDA was not part of the military. But however, since the 1980s, Anthony Fauci has absorbed the FDA into the medical industrial complex cabal. So it is now just as beholden and just as evil as CDC and NIH. This in the 1980s, the US begins weaponizing bioweapons for the first time, especially coronaviruses and anthrax, using gene splicing. So they went from the 60s and 70s using ultraviolet light, nuclear radiation, and chemicals to gene splicing in the 1980s. And then we have two people who enter the picture with Anthony Fauci. One is Ralph Baric, Dr. Ralph Baric at the University of North Carolina, and Peter Daszak, Daszak at Echo Health Alliance. They work hand in hand with Anthony Fauci. Of course, he's retired now, but whoever took his place is just going to be an Anthony Fauci clone. He just
Probably,
retired,
yeah.
what, 6 months ago. He should be hanged. But Peter Daszak is the middleman. Anthony Fauci gives Peter Daszak the money to his quote health foundation, and then Peter Daszak gives the money to Ralph Baric to create bioweapons. And that's where, at the University of North Carolina, almost all of the coronavirus weaponization took place. Also during the 1980s, Bill Gates, the Wellcome Foundation, which is basically the British version of the Bill Gates Foundation, and the World Economic Forum took over the World Health Organization, and Gavi, GAVI, which is the Vaccine Alliance. And at the end of my critique or a review of Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s book, and we can both provide the link. I show that the Chinese have almost no input at WHO. They have almost zero input with Gavi. WHO and Gavi are Western-driven, Western-controlled, and mainly by Bill Gates and the Western bioweapon cabal. And then in the 1990s, Fort Detrick begins farming out bioweapon contracts en masse to US universities, Europe, branching out, as you said, into Africa, Asia, Latin America. Today, the USA has well over 330 overseas bioweapons labs, plus hundreds, at least 400 in the United States. Two at my alma mater, Oklahoma State University. Whatever university you went to in the United States, there's a good chance, especially if it's a land grant college, there's a good chance that it has a bioweapon lab that's being funded by the US military. And as you said, they use these overseas labs to test the bioweapons on local citizens. So these local citizens are actually guinea pigs. They infect them with with HIV, and then they give them vaccines, to test the vaccines, and if the bacteria doesn't kill them, like dengue fever or whatever, then the vaccine's going to kill them. As you said, often. And if they don't kill them, they're often physically and mentally handicapped the rest of their lives. Then in the 2000s, with the fall of the Berlin Wall, Ukraine becomes a major US bioweapon production center. And I've done a lot of reporting on this. There were 32 labs, US
Which no
military
one
labs.
knew, which no one knew until the Ukraine war, and they got accidentally discovered, and Victoria Nuland had to go and testify with her foot in her mouth. Yeah, there are secret bioweapons. We do have military-run secret bioweapons all over Ukraine that the Russians found. Oops. Am I wrong? Am I
Yeah,
wrong?
you're right, absolutely. So those have all now been moved to other countries like Georgia and Germany and U.S. vassals around the region, Egypt and other countries, Austria. Then, of course, we have in 2003 the celebrated SARS. And this was the U.S.'s first attempt to use coronavirus as a bioweapon, at least on a large scale. And I
Wow.
don't have time to get into it, but the evidence is overwhelming. I've cataloged it, reported on it, interviewed on it. SARS was a U.S. bioweapon.
Good
And
heavens, you're killing me.
so that got the Chinese's attention. I mean, they had always been attacked. They had always been attacked, with the Korean War. There's evidence that the United States was doing to China what it was doing to Cuba with attacks on their swine herds, avian flocks, etc. But that got China's notice because they knew it was a bioweapon attack. And people always ask me, well, Jeff, why doesn't China scream bloody murder? Why don't they just say it? But well, first off, it wouldn't work because it would be completely buried and no one would listen to them.
Yeah.
They would just say it's sour grapes and not true, and then the 24-hour news cycle, they go back to
Yeah.
Palestine.
Yeah. The United States propaganda apparatus between the government and the media and the legacy media has done an amazing job of already discrediting China and painting China as, well, it doesn't matter what China says. All of their national media are propaganda outlets. That's all I ever heard. And I believed it. Because that's all I ever heard. So, and when you hear something like that all your life, China Daily is just a propaganda outlet. And now I'm like, no, it's like the most accurate national newspaper in the world. And it is. But no, I thought it was a propaganda outlet because that's what I was taught since I was a kid by the United States government and United States mega media, legacy media. So it doesn't matter what China says. And I think that's maybe why China's PR is so terrible. They know they don't even need to bother because it's all going to get there. The United States is just going to come out and say, oh, China, of course, is the one that's lying. They always have and they always will. And so China just can't win the propaganda war. They just can't.
Nor Russia.
You know? Yeah, right.
And also China is very Confucian, Taoist, and Buddhist, and they don't do face to face, head on
No, avoid confrontation
confrontation.
at
That's why you see on Twitter, the
every
Chinese
chance.
Ministry of Foreign Affairs spokesperson says, we think that the United States should be investigated for bioweapons use, blah, blah, in very vague terms. That's just the way they operate.
I know.
Anyway, I want also people to take notice. It was Fauci after 2003. It started in about 2005, to be exact, after the SARS thing subsided. Fauci, Ralph Baric, and Peter Daszak approached the Chinese. They were the ones that approached the Chinese to offer to show them the dark arts of bioweapons. And they went to the Wuhan Institute of Virology. And people go, well, why did they do that? Well, of course they did it. Let's just say if the United States had offered to Mao Zedong back in the 1950s airplane tickets and to bring over China's top nuclear scientists to the Manhattan Project to watch how they, created the atom bomb,
Of
of
course, they
course
would
they
have said
would
yes.
go. And so, of course, the Chinese wanted to be a fly on the wall and see what was going on. So they accepted. And the U.S. Fauci, I mean, they brought scientists to Galveston, Texas, and Fort Detrick, and it was just so incredible what they did. Of course, they wanted to co-opt. This is a long story, but at the same time, the Chinese were wiping out the CIA's spy networks in mainland China. The CIA was,
Successfully so.
yeah, very successfully killing, assassinating, eliminating, imprisoning dozens of Chinese spies who were working for the CIA and Europe. So the CIA controlling the Fauci got Fauci to offer to do this to help China develop bioweapons so that they could have an entree back into China to do more spying. It didn't work very well, but that's how desperate they were. So it was the Americans that showed the Chinese the dark arts of bioweapons, and of course the Chinese accepted. And it was Ralph Baric and Peter Daszak at the Wuhan Institute of Virology. It wasn't Batwoman. It was Ralph Baric and Peter Daszak who were, she was there, but she was a student. She was just
Right.
watching what they
She
were
was just,
doing.
she was the next level down.
Yeah, she was just, she was sitting there observing and learning. She was in a subordinate position. They were the ones that developed in 2015, but Ralph Baric and Peter Daszak, using US taxpayer NIH Fauci funds to weaponize at the Wuhan Institute of Virology what would become COVID-19. So that's how China got the genome for COVID-19 so early and started working on an effective attenuated vaccine, knowing that a US bioweapon attack was imminent. I mean, they obviously could put two and two together. Well, gee, in 2003, we got hit with SARS, and this one's called SARS-CoV-2. It's pretty obvious they knew that an attack was coming, and that's why China had an attenuated vaccine before anybody else, because they had the genome for 4 years and could develop a vaccine in advance.
Let me
So
point out real
go
fast
ahead.
that China's vaccine that came out, which we all took, was a traditional dead cell virus vaccine, not an mRNA vaccine. So
Yeah,
continue.
what I call
Thank you, because I don't want that
attenuated,
other
or
one.
yeah, absolutely. And then, of course, in 20, and I don't have time to get into it. I wrote some great columns about this because it's just unbelievable. But of course, the United States attacks China with COVID-19 during the World Military Games in Wuhan.
That's what I
And
believe. I firmly believe that's what they did. No, that's ab if you ask me the final point of what they did, that's exactly how it happened. That's when it went to
They
Wuhan.
may have released it. Actually, Mario, the ground zero for COVID-19 happened at the Oriental Mandarin Hotel in Wuhan. And guess where the American team of 312 supposed military athletes were staying? They were all staying at the Oriental Mandarin in Wuhan,
At that hotel.
which was 300 meters away from the supposed wet market where it was supposedly found in bats and whatever. I don't know, but it's clear, it
Was
was
Wuhan?
clearly an American bioweapon, and of course the rest is history.
And let me point out, please, because you might not have it in your notes, that besides Dr. David Martin, everyone, please go to about a month and a half ago, the Tucker Carlson interview with Jeffrey Sachs, which was primarily about Ukraine, actually. But there was a 10-minute segment toward the end where Jeffrey Sachs specifically explained this very clearly, in very certain terms, that the United States created and caused the pandemic. And that, China had nothing to do with it, basically, in terms of starting it and causing it and creating it as it happened. And Sachs has made this crystal clear. He's of the utmost credibility. Make sure you reference, go watch that interview.
I think I even reposted that on Twitter. So
Exactly.
a couple of points,
Some final points, Jeff?
a couple of final points. This is not stopping. It's going on. They just moved labs from Ukraine to other countries. They're continuing to co-opt U.S. universities. They're continuing to build labs around the world. Bioweapons are the foundation of U.S. military programming and planning. And I think, and I want you, this is very, very difficult, Mario, for Westerners to understand, but fans need to know out there that Western elites, the deep state, City of London, Wall Street, whatever you want to call it, the WEF, the World Health Organization, whatever you want to call it, there is a huge depopulation eugenic movement among Western elites. They literally do want to wipe out much of humanity. And I
They
know it's
have they
controversial.
they're not about protecting and taking care of and
No,
improving and
no,
building up mankind.
no.
They you know no. I mean, it's incredible. Democracy, human rights, and freedom. Yeah, for them, not
So,
for mankind.
and as Mario just pointed out, the West mRNA shots, they're not even vaccines. They are actually patented by Pfizer and Moderna and Johnson and Johnson and AstraZeneca. They are actually patented as genetic treatments. They are
Jesus.
actually patented as genetic treatments. They're not even vaccines.
Hey,
And I,
they're still releasing new boosters. They just released a new round of those boosters. And which, by the way, Pfizer's stock kind of went down because they're not very, they were shown to be not very effective in trials, but they released them anyway. But correct me if I'm wrong, are they still all being released only on the emergency basis only?
Oh, of course,
Do you
that's
know?
the way. I mean, that's been going on since polio in the 1950s. They get emergency use certification,
Access.
and then there's no testing. That's another thing that people need to understand. These vaccines are not tested. I think the latest Pfizer vaccine was tested on 8 mice, and that was it. And one of them died.
Jeff, wrap it up with your three
Well,
final
that's
three or
it.
so
I
final
just want
points.
people
Go
to
ahead.
know Western mRNA shots, they have killed an estimated 20 million people around the world while injuring and maiming hundreds of millions of humanity. This is not a problem for China because they have attenuated dead cell viruses, and the mRNA factory that Moderna has there, they won't even let the shots be used in China. They're shipped to Singapore and other countries. They will not let them be used on Chinese citizens. And
Correct.
the other thing that the last thing I want to say is that people need to understand that in the West, again, not China, in the West, Western vaccines and bioweapon development and use are two sides of the same coin. It's just like you flip the coin, bioweapons, vaccines, bioweapons, vaccines. So they use the vaccine idea as a front with the public to create bioweapons to kill billions of people. So it's not China that's driving the bioweapon chemical weapon use in the world. It's the West that drives this, and it's the global South who has to defend itself from it, including China, Russia, Iran, North Korea, and everybody else. So that's it, Mario. Anything else you'd
No,
like
Jeff,
to
thank
add?
you so much. Let me address our viewers. Folks, thank you so much. We've really had a amazing opportunity to listen to. I mean, I've talked about this topic a lot over the last all the years since the pandemic. In fact, that's how I became more of a public voice. But I never went into the depth and detail and research and expertise on it as someone like Jeff. So it's really been a pleasure, Jeff. Thank you for coming on, sharing your experience, your research, your expertise with us. You can check out again Jeff's work at bioweapontruth.com and his China Rising Sinoland newsletter. That's it for us today here on this episode of Counterpoint China. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
Here's a Buddhist bow to you, Mario. Thank you.